Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go, or with the way the world is heading right now, where you do not go. 800-919-3776. And I really felt strongly, guys, that today's show would be about the return of Major League Baseball. If the players would have approved the vote last night. They've delayed it. Hopefully they're going to vote in a day or two, but, you know, we still are without baseball as we sit here right now.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting, too. One of the things I read over the weekend, too, was with, and I mean, this is a perfect example of, you know, some of the things that we've been talking about. I mean, you see what's happening in Florida with these training facilities. When you don't have strict protocols and you just say, okay, you know, be an adult, social distance, take care of yourself, and they're not testing every single day, this is what happens. Guys go out because Florida was open. You know, people, half the people aren't even wearing masks. You go out and you go to dinner or you go to the grocery store, and then, you know, you catch it and you bring it into the locker room. And now they're forced to shut down all these facilities, which is, I think, made it a little bit more tricky if you're the player side, because now the owners can use this as a reason why they can only play so many games. So how do you grieve that now? Did you lose that leverage? Did you lose the grievance leverage now because you have to shut these facilities down and push back the start whenever that's going to happen?
Well, I guess that part of it will be a little bit tricky just because there are going to be some teams that are able to start a spring training in areas where it seems like they're on the other side of the curve. And so I don't know how much bearing that actually has on, you know, the players filing a grievance against the owners for not negotiating in good faith and having a season as long as they possibly could. But I will say this, it's just at this point, I'm starting to feel like it's up in the air as to whether or not we're going to have baseball. Because when I asked Buster the question on the show last week about whether or not we'd see baseball if the players didn't agree to waive their right to file a grievance, Buster said, no, that's not going to happen. And with the owners rejecting the players' proposal of 70 games, full prorated salaries, it just doesn't feel like either side is willing to give beyond where they're actually at right now.
I think the players are going to actually pass the 60 games. I know you don't feel like that, Chris. I feel like they're going to pass the 60.
Well, Jesse Rogers said last night that he didn't think that was going to happen.
Until it happens, I do not think that we're not going to see baseball. I can't put my arms around that. I don't believe it.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's an interesting question as to whether or not the players would agree to it. They delayed the vote, and Rob Manfred wanted to clarify to Tony Clark in an email that the changes that they would make in 2020 weren't going to roll over in 2021 as far as expanded playoffs and the universal DH. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, the way that Rob Manfred has been going back and forth with Tony Clark and then putting things in writing via emails, it just feels like it's setting itself up for litigation. And I know Buster said that last week, but I feel like we are inevitably going to end up in front of an arbitrator in a courtroom with these two sides at odds. It just doesn't feel like they're going to be able to find middle ground where they can come to an agreement to play baseball this summer. It feels like if we're going to see baseball this summer, it's going to be Rob Manfred unilaterally imposing a schedule on the players.
Yeah, I don't think there's a season. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think there's going to be a season if the players don't waive their ability to file a grievance. The owners won't be on board with that.
No way.
No, there's no chance. And I think, I mean, if you're Tony Clark, with what's going on now, I mean, in Florida and Texas and in Arizona with the spikes and everything else, having to close facilities, I mean, you could use this as, I mean, if it does, I mean, if there is no season, it is grieved or whatever ends up happening, you jam this down the player's throat and they end up filing a grievance, I mean, this would be part of your argument as to why you couldn't play a certain amount of games. Because you were forced to shut down the facilities and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they shut them all down over the weekend to scrub them down with the mass outbreak of COVID-19.
But this is, But Dave, this is the perfect example of what would scare you to death if you're the NFL. Is that you guys just, I mean, because you're not in a bubble situation, you got guys just living their lives, going, you know, wherever they choose to go. It only takes one or two guys, and then you put them in close proximity. That's baseball.
The NFL is terrifying. Rick,
the NFL is terrifying because of the nature of the sport, but I don't think the NFL is as concerned for the welfare of their players. I think the NFL is content testing guys, you know, a few times a week, three or four times a week, and knowing that guys are going to get it, they're depending on guys being young and in relatively good health in order for them to get past the coronavirus. I think that they're just looking at it from a numbers standpoint and just making sure they have enough healthy bodies to field a team each and every week. But I think the NFL is content letting the coronavirus wash over their teams and letting it run through their locker rooms. I don't think the NFL owners much care about, you know, the well-being of the players. I don't think they're worried about something tragic happening to one of their guys because of the coronavirus.
Until it does.
Well, I mean, you see that in college football right now. It feels like they're just doing an experiment right now.
Yeah,
just like they're experimenting on college kids.
Yeah, just let it wash over the team, see what happens. And if nobody gets sick to the point where their life is in jeopardy, then we feel justified in making a choice to move forward. I think that the NFL is taking that same type of approach. It's the same mindset.
If that's the mindset, they got to get the players back earlier.
What'd you say, Rick?
If that's going to be the mindset, then they're going to have to get the players back sooner rather than later then.
Well, that's why they're talking about having players come back in a few weeks, in the middle of July. Rather than reporting for training camp at the end of July, beginning of August, we're going to have guys come back in the middle of July. And I know Cam Hayward actually said something about that because his team is scheduled to play in the Hall of Fame game this year. He was saying that you need 47 days of activity before you play in your first game. I think this is one of those situations where the NFL is probably going to move to bring guys back because they recognize that it's going to be next to impossible to create a true bubble environment for the duration of the season and have everybody adhere to all of those protocols.
Which is so transparent. I mean, which would just speak further to the point that they could care less, that, if, you know, they're just realizing players will get it.
Yeah, because if you're only testing guys two or three times a week, come on, Rick. Is that really enough?
No, it's got to be daily. It has to be.
Yeah, but it's also, Dave, I mean, in their opinion, and they'll never say this, it's, I mean, as long as because of, you know, your age, no underlying health conditions and everything else, you'll get it. Maybe you're asymptomatic, you test positive, you get through it, you have the antibodies. I mean, that's if you gave them true serum, that's what they would want, that everyone just gets it, fights through it, and then is good to go when the season starts. You don't
sure.
have to worry about it.
But is that realistic to think that's going to happen? That all of these players are going to test positive, right? Or have the antibodies and you're not going to have to worry about it?
No, you don't know. And no one's comfortable saying that because you don't know the long-term ramifications. Yeah, you can get through it, but who knows what the long-term ramifications are. That's why I don't like what's going on in college right now with these football players. It's almost like you're using them as guinea pigs to see how, you know, to see how this thing goes through a locker room.
Which is crazy to me. But I think when it comes to the NFL owners aren't going to push back if the NFL players aren't. And so I think that's why it's important to know where the executive committee and the NFLPA executive director, DeMaurice Smith, stand on this issue and what are going to be the realities in terms of ways of attacking, you know, the coronavirus problem and trying to prevent the transmission of the virus. Like, I think the NFLPA is going to set the tone on what the NFL implements as far as protocols and their method of dealing with this.
So today's June 22nd. Let me ask you, let me switch back to baseball quickly. Rick, you've been on my side the whole time, believing that baseball would come back. Do you think that we still get the return to baseball, or are you starting to switch over to where Canty is?
I'm almost leaning towards what you said, that you feel like the players are going to end up voting in the 60 games.
I believe that.
Well, listen to this. I mean, this is Ken Rosenthal, right? So it says in a letter to Tony Clark today, Rob Manfred, this was 18 hours ago he tweeted this. Rob Manfred said, I really believe we are fighting over an impossibility of games. Says, given the need to relocate teams from Florida, earliest players could report is June 29th, leaving 66 days to play 60 games. Which is like check another box.
Yeah, he's
like
baking it in there to say we have no choice but to play 60 games.
So I think you're going to have to weigh what are our chances. Like our leverage is we take this to a grievance. If we don't vote it in, he institutes the 48, 50 games, whatever it ends up being. What are our chances of actually winning in a grievance? And it feels like Rob Manfred is just checking all these boxes so that if they do go to court, they'll have as, you know, as good a case as possible.
Well, what that's saying is that the owners feel like their strategy worked. They were able to buy enough time. They were able to eat up enough of the calendar going back and forth with Tony Clark and the MLBPA to where we get to the point where we only have a certain amount of games we can play because of a certain amount of days left in the calendar that we're comfortable with, given the concerns about a second wave of coronavirus.
So, I mean, yeah, shutting down the facilities.
The owner's posturing worked.
Yes, and shutting down the facilities was not great. Right.
They were able to successfully implement this strategy, and we're at a point now where even a grievance would be up in the air just because of what's been happening around the country in the southern states. But that still doesn't mean that the owners operated in good faith in trying to figure out a way forward this summer with the coronavirus.
No, I don't think they did at all. But now you're to the point where, you know what, 60 games may be the best that you can probably get sitting here on June 22nd.
Yeah, but a month ago that wasn't the case.
Correct. But if you're the players, do you risk it and try to bring this to court, or do you just say, you know what, let's play 60 games and be done with it?
I mean, in any other year, I think you would probably decide to go ahead and play games, but because you have the backdrop of the 2021 CBA negotiations, I don't know that the players are going to acquiesce to what the owners want. I don't, like I said, I feel like we're at an impasse and both sides don't want to move. Like Jesse Rogers, you know, writer for ESPN on the baseball side, he said that last night with SVP, he said that he did not think that the players would accept this offer. He said that the players would probably reject this offer. We'll see what happens. But if the players reject this offer, then where do we go from
there? I don't know what else there is to be done.
That's what I'm saying. Where do we go from there?
I think you might be at a stalemate.
Do you just announce the cancellation of the season?
Oh, it'd be such a
implement a season? I don't know. But I mean, for all the baseball fans, fingers crossed, you're hoping that the players accept this most recent proposal by the owners. But the fact that they issued a counter proposal at 70 games lets you know that there is enough of a contingent of players where they felt uncomfortable accepting the 60 on Friday.
I felt like they still thought there was room to negotiate.
Mm-hmm. And Manfred said there's not. It's 60. This is what your offer is.
Yeah, I think you go 70. If they tell you in the meeting, if Rob Manfred looks at Tony Clark and says, we're not doing 70, you come back with 70. I mean, I guess your hope is that, you know, there's still some wiggle room we get to 65.
But the owners didn't give on anything, though, Rick. That's the crazy thing. They wanted to pay $1.5 billion in players' costs. And that's exactly what it would be if they played 60 games. $1.5 billion. What did they give?
Well, they haven't given anything.
They haven't given anything.
No, but I mean, you just said it. They haven't given anything in this entire time. Their strategy is working where they just keep peeling days off the calendar. And we're going to get to a point like I just read you. You have 66 days to play 60 games.
Which is when? Which would be a start of what date?
They said the earliest players could report is June 29th.
Okay, but then do you have a start of the season?
July 19th? It doesn't 19th, say that.
Around there, right?
The thing that's so frustrating to me is you could be the only sport going on for 10 plus days. People would go
say that.
Crazy.
I mean, you're
having baseball.
Yeah, but timeout. But timeout. You say that, and you're right. But again, we keep overlooking the fact that we're so focused on the money that we haven't really spent any time talking about, you know, what happens once they do report with the testing and like the health concerns now. I mean, you've seen all these facilities get shut down. What happens now? It's not going to be a bubble.
Should be.
It's not.
I know.
And there's not enough time to get that back. I mean, to get that conversation
back
up and started.
See what's going on in Florida and Arizona right now?
I do. Yeah. My in-laws live in Florida right now. They're in the middle of it. And people still aren't taking it serious.
No, it's amazing.
I want my one request, and I'll probably just text him this. I want to know, because you saw it happen in golf. So Nick Watney shows up. He actually traveled with Sergio Garcia. Tuesday, he tests negative. Ends up, the only symptom he has is because his heart rate monitor on his watch, or whatever device he's using, was sketchy. That was a symptom. Was that his heart rate was not normally what it should be. So he got tested, and he tests positive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the guys who he's playing with tested, they're negative. What's the time frame? I want to know what the time frame is. If you come into contact with someone that's asymptomatic, and that person is positive, and you've been spending like an entire golf round or whatever it is around that person, if I get tested that next day, will it show up? or will it just be a false negative because I haven't had enough time for it to, you know, percolate my system? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I don't know that we have the answer.
Like, does it take 2 days? Like,
you
if I get tested,
incubation period, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Because if it's instantly in your system, you can test negative, you know, as close to 100% negative or positive as possible with these tests, then that makes it, I think, a little bit more doable than, you know, it could just sit in your system for 2 days. Like, you could initially test negative, and then 2 days later, you pop positive. There's still so many questions, man.
Well, do we know that it, once you have the antibodies, that you, there's no way you can get it again?
No, the one thing coming out of Italy now is that it seems like the effects of COVID have lessened. It's not as fatal.
Which is huge.
It's weakened.
Which is huge. And they said that there was a good chance of that happening with the hot weather.
Yeah, but again, I don't think it gets to the point where it's just that you're not going to let guys play through it. It won't kill you, but you're still going to have to sit out for 2 weeks.
But look at where we are. I mean, Austin Matthews, right? I mean, Grigor Dimitrov. I mean, you have big-time players that are now contracting this.
Yeah, and if they get through it, fingers crossed, then they'll be, I mean, then, you know, you would imagine it's not something you have to worry about with these players. But even if you get to the point where it's weakened, where it's still looked at, it's not life-threatening, it's kind of like when we look at the flu. You let guys play through the flu. You're not going to let anyone play through COVID-19.
No.
You're still going to have to isolate them for 10 to 14 days. So it doesn't really solve the problem. You're still losing, you know, that player for, he can't do anything for 2 weeks and then try to reacclimate himself to playing.
But isn't that the point of having expanded rosters? I mean, we've been talking about that with football, but they're also doing that with baseball. So, I mean, you're going to have guys that are going to miss, you know, a couple of weeks because they're going to be infected with the virus. And you're banking on guys stepping in and playing in their stead. The only question is, how do you keep those other guys safe from the one player that's infected on the team? That's the question that you're asking, right?
Because
you're trying to make sure that you isolate that one player. And in order to do that, you've got to know that the guy is positive. And can we actually have an accurate test even if the guy is asymptomatic?
Let me ask you another crazy question that has nothing to do with sports, just life in general. I was, you know, going through some of the stuff for the show this morning and you kind of like almost sick to my stomach with what's going on with college football. But how do you, if you have to, the second, so Nick Watney, right, for example, is down in Hilton Head. So he tests positive. He has to self-isolate, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's from Vegas. So either he drives himself back to Vegas or
he should probably just lock away in Hilton Head.
Well, that's what he's going to do.
Right.
What happens? Okay, so schools, colleges.
Not a bad place to be locked away, by the way.
No. But again, he's got means. He's got money, so he can stay at a nice hotel, whatever. What happens when all these kids come back to college and you're in a dorm and the kid tests positive and is supposed to self-isolate, but he's from a different state? How's that? What's that kid supposed to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does the university put him up somewhere?
That's going to be next to impossible, Ricky.
How does that work? I mean, I get the football players, you know, find a hotel or whatever.
Schools know how it works, Rick. I don't think these colleges and universities have a plan.
Did you see what's going on at LSU? What is it, like 100 cases throughout the bars around LSU?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's with no one on campus yet.
They just quarantined 30 players, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Clemson, too, had, 28 quarantined?
Well, no, 23 tested positive. They don't know how many. They have 30. They have 30 quarantined, but they don't know how many have tested positive yet at LSU. They're just quarantining them because they've been around people that have tested positive. How does that work in a dorm?
I don't know.
It doesn't work in a dorm, Rick. It doesn't. When you have common bathrooms and showers, it does not work. It doesn't work.
Where are all these kids going? That's the thing I don't understand. Where are they going?
Right, college kids. Who don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Now they're going to lock away for 2 weeks.
Well, but most of them lock away, Dave. They got to eat. They got to go to the bathroom.
I'm saying, well, how do you, you're a college kid. You're a poor college kid. Now you're supposed to figure out. And you know what? You're not the brightest person in the world. You're 18. You're not supposed to be. You're 19 years old. Now you have a real life problem.
Yeah, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
It's kind of scary to think about.
It is.
To put kids in that kind of jeopardy.
And you're gonna put a lot of kids at risk. That's really what it comes to. You're gonna put a lot of kids at risk.
But Chris, they don't care. They're already putting these college football players at risk. They're sitting here telling you.
They should
this
care,
is,
Rick. They should care.
And the they should, but they don't. But they don't.
And the problem that I have is the entity that's responsible for the welfare of these student athletes is also the entity that benefits the most from them having games. So there is a clear conflict of interest right there.
That was my favorite.
There should be a separate body looking out for these kids. And good on the UCLA football players for demanding that there be some oversight with the coronavirus testing, and they want a third party. They don't want to rely on the athletic trainers and the medical staff at UCLA. They want somebody separate and apart. And that's good for them because that's absolutely their right. They should have that.
Yep. Here's some news from our buddy Jordan Renan on the Giants. The Giants are offering their season ticket holders the opportunity to take the season off given the current COVID-19 crisis. PSLs will remain fully intact for the 2021 season.
Nice gesture. Thing to do.
Yeah, that's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. They're not the only team that's doing it. It's the right thing to do. I mean, there are going to be people that are uncomfortable coming to the stadium. They shouldn't have to fork over all of that money and not enjoy the entertainment value that they're supposed to get in return for it. So that's the right thing by
the
guys.
It is the right thing to do. But just because it's the right thing to do doesn't mean that every entity is going to do the right thing. So we point out when
you know what my you know what my favorite part of the whole college football conversation was this morning? Was that the mindset moving forward is that it's probably a lot safer when they're actually playing because it's outdoors as opposed to being in close proximity to each other indoors in the gym.
Yeah, it's a lot safer.
So let's expose them to the gym first, see how that works out.
And that'd be phase one.
Of the test.
CMT, the floor is yours.
All right, here we go, fellas. I was going to lighten things up, be honest. I was going to lighten things up, go back to the Adam Sandler movie category. But I said, you know what? I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it. We did desserts on
Chris,
Friday.
You missed wonderful desserts on Friday.
What was your cut of Mary Trash for desserts, Dave?
I mean, I was asked everything. I was asked. The one obvious one was we were asked the oatmeal cookie. That was it. I remember that was an obvious trash. Okay. There were some
which Carlin hated.
Which was the one you absolutely had to marry? Like you didn't hesitate.
The chocolate chip cookie. He asked me.
No, but that was just the cookie. He meant in general of all the talk. I felt like the second I mentioned cheesecake, you were like, I'm marrying cheesecake.
I love cheesecake. I'm not going to deny it.
I would say chocolate chip cookie and cheesecake were probably
very
two.
Easy to
those
marry,
are the ones
yes.
that got the strongest reaction from Dave.
In the I was one very anti the oatmeal.
Which Carlin completely disagreed with. He actually called and he actually was texting me during the segment saying DPHO is a hack, fat wannabe. Because Dave said that when it's oatmeal, it's got to be raisin. And Carlin said, no, as a fat guy, raisin doesn't have to be in the oatmeal cookie.
I completely disagree with that. Completely disagree.
So it would have been good to have you.
Has to be in the oatmeal cookie. Just an oatmeal cookie, no raisin? No.
You agree with me.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Dave. I mean, yeah. Oatmeal cookie comes with the raisin.
Yes.
Yes.
I actually feel like, you mentioned that, I actually feel like Chris would... I feel like Chris may actually think about cuddling or marrying the oatmeal cookie.
I don't know if I would. I guess it would depend on everything else that's in the category. But for me, oatmeal cookie and chocolate chip cookie are both right
there.
It was
the peanut butter cookie and it was the chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, I would trash the peanut butter cookie. Trash.
Really?
Done.
Wow.
Not even a thought. Yeah. Trash.
And you'd marry the chocolate chip.
I would probably marry the chocolate chip and cuddle the oatmeal, but it's close.
Wow.
Like, if I'm going to marry chocolate chip, like, it's going to be understood that I'm going to have a mistress throughout that marriage, and it's going to be the oatmeal raisin cookie.
Woo! All right, we can't go back. We have to move forward. Let's go. What's the topic? Where are we going?
All right, here we go. What we're going to do is, in honor of Dak Prescott signing today sometime his franchise tag, I went quarterback in with Dak and COVID-19, quarantining and everything else. I went with each team's top two quarterbacks. Strength of top two quarterbacks on the depth chart.
Top two quarterbacks, all right.
Yeah, top two. I'm not just going to go single. I'm talking about quarterback room, not the entire room.
So are we saying, could it be three quarterbacks in the room, or is it just only the top two?
I'm going to give you the top two. I'm going to
give
you the top two. I'm going to give you the top two. We're not going to get that deep into the weeds.
Okay.
Although I think most teams will end up carrying three, just in case. You should at this point. All right. I'm going to start you off with some young quarterbacks. I'm going to give you Daniel Jones with Colt McCoy.
Okay.
I'm going to give you Sam Darnold with Canty's favorite favorite teammate, Joe Flacco, in Stidham and Hoyer.
All right. I mean, to me, I'm going to trash Stidham
this is clear.
And Hoyer.
Firmly. This garbage. Fucking yeah. This garbage.
That to me is the easy one. Now, I guess I'm a little torn. I know my answer, but I'm a little torn because I think Colt McCoy's a better backup than Joe Flacco at this point. Health, obviously a concern with Flacco, but to me, Darnold is the better quarterback, you know, moving forward here. I think he's going to be the better quarterback. So I know it's supposed to be the duo, but I think that Darnold is, in my opinion, the one that I'd prefer to have, at least right now. So I will cuddle the Giants combo and marry the Jets combo.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Very interesting, Dave, that you would marry the Jets, knowing full well the dysfunction that exists in that organization. My question has never been about Sam Darnold's talent. It's always mm-hmm. been about whether or not the organization is going to be functional enough for him to realize his potential. And I got serious question marks about that. So for that reason, I am going to marry the Giants quarterback room.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
With Daniel Jones and Colt McCoy. I'm doing it. I'm marrying Big Blue. I am going to cuddle up next to the Jets.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I've got to trash the Patriots quarterback room.
They're the oatmeal cookie with the quarterbacks, yeah.
Yeah. I don't want either one of them playing quarterback for me. I mean, to be honest with you, I'd rather have Julian Edelman play quarterback than have those two guys play quarterback.
He's got more experience.
I have a feeling, and this is just maybe me probably just having too much faith in Bill Belichick, which I shouldn't even be saying. Doesn't Jared Stidham have to be decent?
Yeah, you would think so. But you can't pick them over the other two.
No, I wouldn't either. I'm just saying. I mean, everyone's just downplaying.
I think he will be better than anybody expects. I would agree. Look, listen, the odds in Vegas, they're basically a pick'em to win the division with Buffalo.
I mean, we act like Tom Brady was like a top 10 pick. I mean, do we forget that he was?
Could you imagine, Chris, if Stidham was good right away?
I it's hard for me to imagine, Dave, and I know that's crazy because Tom Brady was a 6th-round draft pick. It's hard for me to imagine that being the case, like the Patriots putting Jared Stidham at quarterback and just not skipping a beat in terms of being competitive and making it to the postseason. I just, for whatever reason, I just don't envision that. And I just, I can't fathom it. But if it does,
you can't fathom it, but you can, like, it just, it's.
Yeah, but if any team he would be successful on,
can I ask you guys a question?
One.
I want to ask you guys a legitimate question. I don't want to go too far in the weeds, but if the Patriots were to somehow, some way, make it to the AFC Championship game, do we look at Tom Brady a little bit differently?
Yeah. In Tampa doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
In Tampa doesn't end up in the AFC Championship game, yeah.
We look at Tom Brady differently?
Yes.
All right, that's fair.
I don't know how you could. Still great.
I mean, it would make it feel like Bill Belichick was more responsible for that sustained success.
If they win
the
division
years,
and Stidham has a big-time season, and they go to the AFC Championship game, I think you have to look at it a little differently.
My head would explode.
All right, continue along now.
All right, here we go. I'm going to give you Foles and Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen, Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts.
Oh, come on. Chris, start us out, but we have to agree on the marry.
Yeah, we're marrying Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts with the Philadelphia Eagles. I know that's hard for you to do.
Marry them.
No, no, I think this is a no-brainer.
Okay, yeah, so we're marrying them. Now, here's where it becomes interesting. Do you cuddle with Washington, Kyle Allen, and Haskins in the potential of that, or do you go with relatively known but underwhelming commodities in Trubisky and Foles?
Well, you decide where you're going to go. I have my decision locked away. Go ahead.
Dave, I am going to go with the devil I don't know. I'm going to roll the dice on Haskins, Allen, and Washington just because I believe in Ron Rivera. I know him. I consider him a friend. I know what he's going to do in terms of program building and establishing a culture, being able to establish institutional control. And I think you'll get Haskins to get closer to his potential under this regime. So I am going to cuddle Washington, and I am going to trash the quarterback room of the Chicago Bears, even though they have a Super Bowl MVP in that room.
All right, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm gonna marry Wentz and Hurts.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Cuddle, like you said, the devil you don't know, and Dwayne Haskins and
Bombs
Kyle
and
Allen.
Hellacious seeds.
And I am hoping Haskins is not a big-time quarterback, but I think the potential is there. And I still don't know how Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. It makes no sense to me. It never will. That duo is something I don't want to get involved with. I will trash the
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Real negative, too, for Nick Foles if they don't allow you to shower at the facility. Real negative. Because that's when you want to take advantage of your biggest strength, if I'm Nick Foles. You really want to impress the guys. Do it in the shower. Okay, next one up. I'm going to give you Baker Mayfield with Case Keenum. I'm going to give you Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota. And I'm going to give you Fitzmagic and Tua. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, it's not easy. All right, I think we might disagree with this, Chris, but I'm going to marry.
I don't think we will.
You think we will?
I don't think we will. No.
You don't? I think we will.
No.
I'm going to marry.
I have full confidence in you.
I don't know about that. I don't have confidence in myself. I'm going to marry Cleveland.
If it was
I'm going to marry
socially acceptable,
Mayfield
I wouldn't marry
Keenum.
Them.
I just think that in the new offense.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
That's a surprise. Go ahead.
Yeah, see, I told you we weren't going to agree. I mean, it's a revamped offensive line. It's a head coach you have a lot more confidence in. So I will marry Cleveland. Boy. I'm going to cuddle Miami.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
With the potential of Tua, which is tremendous. And Fitzpatrick is, I mean, let's be fair, he's a serviceable starting quarterback until he can hand over the reins to the young horse there. And then I will trash the Las Vegas Raiders.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Final answer, Dom.
Yeah, Dave, we can agree on the trash here. I mean, you got Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota and... You know, let's face it, John Gruden's favorite quarterback is his next quarterback. I don't think he's sold on either one of those guys. So I'm going to throw that in the trash. I'm actually going to marry the Miami Dolphins quarterback.
If it was
and
socially
here's why
acceptable,
I'm going to marry
them.
In terms of backup quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick brings more to the table than any of the backups for the Raiders and for the Browns. And as far as upside with the starting quarterback, I don't think there's any quarterback in this group that has more of that than Tua Tagovailoa. So I am going to hitch my wagon to the Miami Dolphins, and plus the fact that I love their head coach, and I think they have some synergy with the general manager and the head coach down there in Miami. So I am going to marry that quarterback room for the Dolphins, and I will cuddle the Browns even though Baker Mayfield is erratic. Baker Mayfield is surrounded by a lot of talent. And I got to think that if Kevin Stefanski is worth his salt as a coach, he'll find a way to get a better version of Baker Mayfield in 2020 than we saw in 2019.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
All right, fellas, so far so good. Last one for you. This could be the most difficult one, hopefully. I'm going to give you Dak. Ready for this? Mm-hmm. Dak and Dalton.
Yep.
Breeze and Winston. Rogers Brissett. Excuse me, Rivers Brissett. Apologize.
Rivers Brissett.
Hmm. Oh. When you said Rodgers, I was thinking you were going to go Rodgers Love. Because that would have made it a little bit easier.
No, I'm not going to make it that easy. This is like, you got starting quarter caliber quarterbacks here, boys.
Okay. Clearly to me, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback room is better than the other two. Even though Drew Brees has the resume, I think Drew Brees is past it as a player. And let's face it, I don't necessarily trust trick or treat Jameis, even though I know he's got a tremendous amount of talent. So I'm going to marry the Cowboys quarterback room.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Yeah, I like what they got going on in Dallas. I think that team is poised for a big year. I am going to cuddle the Saints quarterback room.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I am going to trash the Colts quarterback room, and that probably has more to do with Phillip Rivers than anything else. I just don't with Phillip Rivers. I think it's a wrap. I think he's
done. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
All right, this is not easy for me, because head and heart are pulling in two different directions. But I'm going to agree with Chris.
Yes.
All the way across the board. I'm not even going to say it.
Say it. No, you should say it. No, I won't say
it. I wouldn't marry them.
Come on.
I'll select the Dallas team.
No, you got to marry. You got to. The only way to get the sound is you got to say it.
How about them Cowboys?
I'll do that.
Do you need a prenup for the marriage?
I can't wait till they fall on their face, but I will choose them.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
He just, of course, this is the one time he's got the sound bites just ready to drop and roll. And then I'll cuddle into New Orleans.
Bombs, you know, I don't love fallacious seeds.
I don't love Breeze, but I love what they have there, and they're such a good team and well coached. Play a lot of indoor games, makes it easier for Drew Breeze. And then I don't agree with you on Rivers done, but I will say of the three selections here, it's the worst. I will trash Indy.
Firmly. This garbage. Look at this garbage.
I feel like Rivers is going to have a good season.
I hope
for some reason. I feel like with that offensive, he's going to have a good season. I mean, first of all, I love their head coach. I mean, the fact that the head coach already has a previous relationship has actually said he thinks that Philip Rivers can play multiple years, which I don't know. I mean, he's already agreed to be a high school football coach when he's done, but
I like their head coach and their GM. They got a good
offensive line too.
Yeah. Yeah, they built that team the right way, and I think they're building the organization the right way at the same time.
They could. I think they could be a playoff team without a doubt.
Without a doubt,
I think they could be. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they were a playoff team at all. No.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but yeah, I mean, listen, I like what
Indy
is building
with
toward. I don't think 2020 is their year. They're probably, you know, close to being scheduled to arrive in 2021, but we'll see what happens. I don't like them more than I like Houston or Tennessee.
Tennessee scares me, man. I feel like that's going to be an interesting division this year.
Houston scares me.
Well, because they like, yeah, but I mean, again.
Because the quarterback, not the coach.
Right. The only thing, thank God they have that quarterback.
Right.
I mean, they don't have DeAndre Hopkins, but they do. I mean, they still have, you know, decent
weapons.
They
got weapons.
They have to be more diverse, but the team that would scare me a little bit is Tennessee. Taking a step back.
Then they could. They could. Chris, quickly, Dak Prescott, gonna agree to the franchise tag. 1 year, $31.4 million in 2020. Still trying to work out a long-term deal. Cowboys want a 5-year deal. Dak wants a 4-year deal. They have till July 15th to get that done.
Yeah, they do, Dave. But the incentive now for the Cowboys to get a long-term deal done is to guarantee that you have your quarterback a part of your team after the 2020 season. So you know that he's going to report on time for training camp in 2020. You can feel good about that. But the interesting part comes next offseason, where the number two franchise, Dak Prescott, shoots up from $31.4 million to $37.7 million. And in a year where you could see a flat cap just based on the impact that the coronavirus pandemic is going to have on the economics of football, that could be a problem for the Dallas Cowboys trying to retain core players when you have to stomach Dak Prescott knowing that he's going to have to account for at least $37 million on your salary cap. So, I mean, this is going to be a big problem for the Cowboys. And we talked about it over and over again. The longer they wait, the more expensive this is going to get. And if they wait until the offseason of the 2021 year, then you're talking about Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes having long-term deals already done and put in place, which is only going to raise the number that it's going to cost for Dak on a long-term deal. So, I mean, you know, we got Dak Prescott under wraps for 2020. I think Cowboys fans can breathe a sigh and have a sigh of relief knowing that he will be in training camp. But now the concern has to shift to having Dak Prescott long-term. And I think that's why Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones should still be trying to work toward getting a deal done before July 15th.
That's just good business by Dak Prescott. I mean, why wouldn't you guarantee yourself the $31 million at this point?
That's right. Locked in now.
Locked in with all this uncertainty. I mean, God forbid something happens while you're training for the season. And he can't help himself. I mean, this is what would frustrate me, too, if I'm Dak Prescott. He does everything right. Like, of course he wants to be at training camp. You don't want to. I mean, would you want your play to suffer because you're holding out training camp? That doesn't do you any good either. You got a new head coach. You show up. Training camp will probably be, I mean, who knows what the hell training camp's going to look like. I mean, if I'm Dak Prescott and I believe in who I am as a quarterback, I wouldn't even work out a long-term deal at this point.
You would just play year to year?
Well, you got 31. I mean, that's going to be the starting point. You got 31 guaranteed this year. You have 37.
Almost 38 next year. Yep.
Yeah, and they're not going to franchise you a third time. That shoots up to what, $54 million?
Yeah, they can't do that. Yeah,
so they're not going to do that.
It'd be $54 million in third year, yeah.
So like Chris said, why not wait? Let's see what Deshaun Watson signs for. Let's see what, you know, let them reset the market.
Yeah, well, but then it's just going to be worse for the Cowboys.
The reason you wouldn't wait is if the Dallas Cowboys decide they want to offer you something in the neighborhood of $115, $120 million guaranteed dollars. Then you got to think, okay, you know what? Maybe this makes sense to sign this deal now. Because going into this year,
a lot of money.
To going into this year, you only got $31.4 million guaranteed. If you had $120 guaranteed, that's a different conversation. You're talking about having $90 million more dollars in your bank account. Like, to me, that's enough of a guarantee where I'm willing to forego what I could do this season. Because you got to also factor this in. He wouldn't have to absorb the risk of injury this season if he signs that long-term deal. Now, we know it's a small risk, but it's still a risk.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.